Today, I have the unique opportunity to finally discuss one of my homeboys. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyper-analyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
So today, joining us once again, you remember her from our episode on Electric Youth by Debbie Gibson. Michelle, welcome back to our kitchen. It is great to have you here doing this again.
Oh, welcome. I'm so excited to be here.
Our last episode with you bring you to like new levels of fame?
It did. I feel like everyone was stopping me on the street and talking about Debbie Gibson. I was ecstatic about that.
Yeah. That happens to me all the time. I've had Debbie Gibson conversations since 1989, just randomly on the street. Absolutely.
Do you know what the listeners have reached out to us that they enjoyed that episode?
Oh, I loved it.
Particularly, I think a couple of people from the My So-Called Whatever
Facebook
group.
The amount of people that have like reached out about the perfume has
been unsettling.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
I remember the perfume.
Not just recently, but like also when we put the episode out last year. And it did not smell like a sickeningly sweet, like, preteen.
What happens to all the unsold perfume? I wonder if she has like buckets in her or
she just has just kegs of Electric Youth perfume. That's fermented at this point, so. But Michelle, you are putting Divorce Diaries up on Caroline's on Broadway.
Yes, I'm so excited for this opportunity.
Tell us just a little bit about that.
Okay, so Divorce Diaries was booked at Caroline's on Broadway April 3rd. It's a Tuesday night, 7:30. I'm very, very excited. The show is sketch comedy and stand-up. And there's going to be about three comics that go on before I do Divorce Diaries, which is all comedy about relationships, marriage, divorce, daycare, diapers, work.
Great.
It's a lot of fun stuff.
Single mommyhood.
Can't hear enough about diapers, I'll tell you what.
No, I mean, listen.
Childs, adults, it doesn't matter.
And that's true.
Have you seen those commercials for like this sexy Depends?
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother wears Depends, so I'm often...
Well, if she's ever feeling a bit randy.
Yes, I mean, I think maybe we should buy her a pair. Maybe. She's
just one.
A fresh 94.
So today we are going to be discussing the 2006 hit by the Jonas Brothers. That's right, the Joe Bros themselves, their song The Year 3000. It was released on two of their albums. At first, it was on their first album, It's About Time, released in August of 2006. And then on their second album, the self-titled Jonas Brothers, on August of 2007. Now, the interesting thing is, the first time this album was, or the album was released, or the first album that was released, It's About Time, only sold a little over 1 million, whereas the second album it appeared on sold 2.4 million copies. So,
wow. Okay.
These guys are a teen sensation.
Yes.
This song, however, only went to number 31 on the Billboard Top 100 and number 33 on the Billboard Pop 100. I thought it was a much bigger hit than that. I would have thought like Radio Disney just launched this thing up to the top of the charts.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. When I started teaching high school in 2008, everyone was obsessed with the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Every girl I met had Jonas Brothers stickers on her notebook and iHeart Nick, you know.
The dark-haired Hanson brothers. That's what I like to establish them.
Straight out of my hometown, Wyckoff, New Jersey.
Represent. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The homeschooled trio, the Wyckoff Hanson brothers or whatever. Brown haired.
They were homeschooled. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But back to what you were saying just now, Katie. So when I was at your school last week helping with the play stuff.
Yep.
There was definitely a handful of crew members just sitting around listening to this very song on their phone. Yeah.
Stop it.
So I think that's what plowed into my brain as one to do. I couldn't for the light. So last time we had you on, Michelle.
Yes.
we were running through options of songs to talk about. And I don't know why, subconsciously, Jonas Brothers was one of the ones that I thought we had discussed then, which is why I thought this would be a natural fit for you now. And then just hours ago, Katie is saying like, no, we didn't do that at all. Yeah. But for months now, I've had it trapped in my brain that Michelle wants to do Jonas Brothers.
I mean, I do
want to discuss
the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm being when you want to do
the Jonas Brothers, it's that you want to discuss the Jonas Brothers.
I'm a big boy fan person too, so
wait a second. I want
to, a big boy band. I love
I thought
bands.
You said I'm a big boy fan person.
I'm a big boy fan, absolutely. Yeah. I'm all rooting for the boys in that department.
Let's
hear it for the boy. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's give a boy a hand. That's a song.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
is that one we can discuss in the future?
Give a boy a hand. That is.
Got my own. Thank you very much. I'm doing just.
I wonder if that's actually the words, though. Maybe it's a chance and not a hand. I'm not sure. We'll save that. I think we could discuss that.
Let's
song
give
in
a boy a hand, definitely.
Episode.
Well, all right.
It's from the Footloose soundtrack.
Okay. All right.
We'll put that on the back burner.
You'd be surprised I know about Footloose. There are two things I know about Footloose: Kevin Bacon and Kenny Loggins. That's all I got. So.
I would give at least one of the Jonas Brothers a hand.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a
now.
Doubt.
Now. I mean, not 2006 now.
Brothers. No, Nick Jonas now. Absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Nick Jonas is a type 1 diabetic. So that's two type 1 diabetics rolling straight out of Wyckoff, New Jersey.
What was in the water?
Seriously.
Sugar. It was just like high fructose corn syrup. That's in the water supply in Wyckoff, New Jersey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's right. He's a spokesperson for some charity, and I can't remember the name of it. But that is neither here nor there, because as it turns out, it is serendipitous that you happen to be a big fan of the reality show.
Oh, Meet the Jonas, right? Or
Married to Jonas.
I don't even remember the name of it, but I used to watch it.
Which is not a show that I was aware existed until this morning when I was doing research on this very song.
Yes.
So what is that about?
All right, so it's about Kevin Jonas, the older brother, who is married to Danielle Delicia or something? I don't know. And basically, she's from Jersey. They get married, and it's their experience being married together. I stopped watching it towards the end. I think that's when she was pregnant, was trying to get pregnant, you know. And then they were settling into a house in New Jersey, and...
Well, all of this sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Does it have, like a newlyweds vibe?
It's like a newlywed vibe.
Oh, was that the Jessica Simpson one?
Yeah, Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey had that show, Newlyweds.
Right.
She's like an Italian from Jersey, too.
You don't say.
Yeah, no, Italian from North Jersey. Who would have guessed? But it just shows them getting married, being newlyweds and their journey.
All right.
And it came out, hold on a second, it came out in like 2009.
Yeah.
And he's only 30 now.
Right.
So... Well, he was like 21 years old.
That's the year I got married. So, and I was 27.
Okay.
He's 6 years younger than me. So he was 21?
That is really young.
Well, some people get married really young,
I guess. That's their business.
Some celebrities get married super young and then the world gets to watch it unfold. I don't know. Yeah, that's people will be much more entertained by our married life, mostly dancing in the kitchen and making up song parodies.
Yeah.
So that's a. But another reason that I am excited to do this song today is because, Katie, our friend over in the UK, Joe Shipley, gets another shout out.
I know he's been waiting for his next shout out.
He's been waiting for his next shout out, and I'm sure that he is probably yelling on the underground, just out loud. Like, it's a song by Busted, because this is a cover by the UK pop punk band Busted.
What?
Yeah,
I had no idea that this was a cover.
Katie, remember how I turned on a video of another band doing this and turned it off after about 15 seconds?
Yes.
I couldn't stand listening to this song again. That was the Busted version.
And I said, as you turned it off, this is much worse because these are grown men.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So
this is actually a cover?
This is a cover.
Oh,
And it is not the only cover on this album. In fact, it is not the only Busted cover on this album. So, on the Jonas Brothers album, It's About Time, they not only cover Year 3000, but they also cover the Busted hit What I Go to School For, as well as a song by LFO called 6 Minutes, the light funky ones. Summer Girls. Goodness.
How crazy.
So that is what the Jonas Brothers did for their first album.
So the Jonas Brothers are not really the brown-haired
Hanson,
because Hanson wrote their own stuff for the most part.
Yeah, they are more of the American Busted, as it turns out.
I guess so.
So for all the months of Joe yelling at us to cover a Busted song, here it is.
Here's right your here. Busted song, Joe
I do
Shipley.
Remember, there was a short-lived show on MTV that my, you know, when I lived in DC, me and the guys I lived with, it's like 2 a.m. and we're drinking a case of Natural Light beer, and the Busted Trying to Break in America TV show that lasted about 4 episodes came on. So that's like the only reason why I'm familiar with that band at all. Otherwise, I would have just been like, what the hell's a Busted?
Yeah,
so,
I'm not familiar with Busted.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You're fine.
I feel busted now that I'm not familiar with Busted.
Yikes. So,
well, Michelle, don't worry.
We'll, that.
We'll introduce you to all the
Please.
Glory that is Busted.
You're in luck because you got friends that care about you very much and want you to hear the worst songs.
Oh my God.
So, Katie, can I ask you to read the chorus for us here?
Sure. Now, am I doing pre-chorus and chorus or just the
chorus?
Yeah,
go for it. Is it the same thing both times?
Yeah, I think it is the same.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, go for it.
I'll go for both then. Here we go now. He told me he built a time machine like one in a film I've seen. Yeah, he said, I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they live underwater. And your great-great-great-granddaughter is doing fine. Doing fine.
Okay, so this is a song that I hear at work all the time.
Really?
It always comes on like the work radio station, like just the loop of music that plays in the background. You can ask Donald this. Like
Donald, who is our previous guest.
Donald, who was featured on our Light Funky Ones episode.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing it full circle here. So,
He's also been tortured by this
He's
song,
also
is
been
what
tortured
you're saying.
By this song. There is some sort of digital error in the song on our version at work that leaves a full like minute, 2 minutes of just dead space before they sing the last two choruses.
That's weird.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
It's awful because you get so excited that this song is finally over and done with, and then you have a little break, and you don't even realize that there's no music playing until all of a sudden there's another goddamn chorus just like screaming at you. So,
Michelle,
yes.
What pops out to you in this wonderfully written chorus?
I mean, the indirect you know, connection to Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like, okay.
Oh, there will be another direct connection to Back to the Future once we get into the verses of this.
Absolutely.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep pre-chorus. Yeah, he said.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the chorus to come up after that.
I can't really hold that against the Jonas Brothers per se, because Busted were the ones to, in fact, write that pre-chorus.
Yeah, you know? Right.
The original version seems like it is mostly the exact same. There are a couple of changes to the lyrics, which we'll get into when we get to them, but for the most part, Busted were the ones that wrote that, yeah, he said.
Can I tell you my problem with the chorus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going to be the same problem I have with the chorus, to be honest with you.
I've got two problems.
Okay.
Do you want just one or do you want both of
them? No, fire away.
All right. So first of all, you can't say not much has changed and follow that with, but they live underwater.
That is a huge change.
That's a big old change.
Not much has changed except for this one massive change.
Except all of humanity now lives underwater.
Yeah.
And your great-great-granddaughter is doing fine.
Well, that is my other problem.
Did she have like amphibian?
So there are two things that happen in this chorus. So you have a problem with both of the things that happen in this chorus. When you say I only have two problems with this chorus, what you're saying is I have a problem with both of the things, all of the things in this chorus.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So go for it.
Michelle, well, what was your thought about the great, great, great granddaughter?
I don't know. Shouldn't it be more great than just three greats?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I have a whole page of notes on that.
Just on that, because I didn't even average it out, but like I feel like 1,000 years?
Yes.
How old are they when they start having that baby?
Do you want me to launch into this now?
Launch into it.
Okay. Yeah, please. Because that, I have that written down too.
I found the greatest article online put out by the Princeton LPs, which is Princeton University's music publication. And the title of this article is how is Nick Jonas's great-great-great-granddaughter doing fine? And it postulates that she, who the article calls Mabel, should have lived between the years 2250 and 2350 AD. He then proceeds to give five theories as to how it is possible that Nick Jonas's great-great-great-granddaughter is doing fine. So,
jeez Louise.
So this is a whole thing. I've written down all of the theories right here.
Well, go ahead, Michelle.
No, I think it's just the course. Again, this is a cover, so maybe this is all Busted's fault. But
yeah, that's true.
It is disconnected in the fact maybe they would live underwater because I don't know what
them ice caps are melting.
Ice caps,
you know?
That's right. That might be a fact, but. Again, how is this great-great-granddaughter doing fine? She's probably old or
dead.
Yeah. And does she have amphibian-like lungs? I mean,
gills. They would have gills. Straight up water
world
style.
I don't even know my creatures here.
I'll tell you what. We'll get into that as we go through the verses and evidence for these theories.
Do you want to tell us what the theories are?
Do I want to tell you what all of the theories are? No. I want to parse that out.
Okay.
But the first one I will say is that theory one is that Mabel, the great-great-great-granddaughter in question, obtains the same exact time machine that we hear about in the verse of the song. So that's theory one, is that she, in between the years of 2250 AD and 2350 AD, obtains the same time machine and then brings that to the year 3000,
okay.
Where she encounters her great 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 grandfather.
Oh, all right.
That so that's sense. Theory one. She is partying it up back there.
Yes, she is.
So anyway, so that is theory number one. And with that, I think we should start reading the verses.
You got it.
In order to further delve into this craziness. So I don't really know what else to call it. So Michelle, as our guest, can I ask you to read verse one up through the pre-chorus?
Sure. One day when I came home at lunchtime, I heard a funny noise. Went out to the backyard to find out if it was one of those rowdy boys. Stood there with my neighbor called Peter and a flux capacitor.
All right.
I don't think I pronounced that right, did I?
You did. So you want to talk about the Back to the Future reference. Just throwing in the phrase flux capacitor is, that is just on the nose right there. I also want to say that from now on, when we get into the theories about how it is that Mabel is doing fine, the time traveler shall heretofore be named Peter.
Oh, good. Peter, I'm so excited.
As evidenced by the rowdy boy in verse one. So,
I mean, I think just the flux capacitor. I just did a show with Claudia. Well, for her, Claudia Wells is
right.
Back to the Future.
That was out when you were out in L.A.
And she was really lovely and sweet. And but when I saw Back to the Future, I was really young and I don't remember the full movie. And I don't want to admit this, but I'm lost with the flux capacitor. I got to rewatch
the flux capacitor. If I can spoil this 30-year-old movie
Go
for you.
Go for it, please.
Is the technology invented by Doc Brown allows the time machine to go back in
the
time.
The DeLorean.
That's right.
I got to see.
The DeLorean.
I love the DeLorean.
Is just a model of a car.
I know, but I got to stand next to her and I got excited.
That's true.
I didn't get as excited as Mabel or Peter. Did I?
Or Nick Jonas, or Busted.
Can I discuss Peter in the video for this song?
Yeah, he is a hot mess.
He is a hot mess, and I'm pretty sure, like, if I had children, I would not let them go over to Peter's house. That man looks dangerous. That man does not look mentally balanced. He's wearing a suit.
A Hawaiian
shirt suit. And shorts, which may be a bathing suit. I can't tell.
I thought he was in his boxers at one point.
I don't know. I'm going to assume bathing suit because they live underwater and he's probably going for a swim. So there's our loud, loud dog again. That's great. But yeah, if he is wearing boxers instead of a bathing suit, the Jonas parents really
are negligent.
They are really negligent.
Like, I mean, but the oldest son is what, in his 20s?
I think in 2006 he was 18.
Now he's
30-ish,
I want
to say.
Right, so 18 years old, I guess, maybe.
big deal, 18 years old. They go over to the stranger's couch and he says, or a stranger's house, and he says, "Jump into my couch, and I'll take you to the year 3000, little boy." It's like this.
And why is it in the couch too? That's interesting.
I don't know. Because they didn't have a props department.
The props department was low budget.
Listen, we're just going to CGI some glitter onto this shot later on. So you just, Peter, you put on your underpants and we'll...
Peter looked like he was on something.
You and these three young boys will all jump into the couch. So
it's a little bit weird.
It's a video for kids, okay?
And, yeah.
Like, Nick Jonas is only 25 now. So I that know. Means he was only 13 when they covered this song.
Yeah, you have to give him some props. I mean, I teach 13-year-olds and I feel like, gosh, they are not ready to barely, like...
He's got some good focus,
focus and direction. Yeah, he did really good, I have to say. But given the circumstances
given the inevitable trauma that he suffered at the hands of Peter here...
I'm a little concerned for his safety in the
video. Yeah.
So you can tell this is definitely a cover by a British band when they use the phrase, "one of those rowdy boys."
I guess so.
That's not something that an American would put into verse.
Do you think that's particularly British, or is it just weird writing?
I think it's both, I'll be honest. I think it can be both weird writing and British.
It's weird British writing.
It is weird British writing.
It's a little odd, because there are the boys, and they're singing "one of those rowdy boys."
Which means that Peter is not the only rowdy boy in that house.
In that house. Oh, how gross.
Just imagine the other, like, creepy old underpants men.
No, I think this is a misinterpretation. Okay. He went out there to see if it was one of those rowdy boys, and instead it was Peter with his flux capacitor.
Peter isn't one of the rowdy boys. Okay.
Peter's the person who
Rowdy boys stood there with my neighbor called Peter.
No. I went out to the backyard to find out if it was one of those rowdy boys. End of thought.
I stood there
with my neighbor called Peter and a flux capacitor.
Which was the thing in the couch.
So I stood there with my neighbor called Peter, which is his couch flux capacitor. How do you get a couch up to 88 miles an hour is my question.
You don't have to, because now the flux capacitor makes a weirdly CGI'd glittery portal. It doesn't go into a car.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the time machine he built.
Yes.
With just stuff he had lying around in his basement.
Basically, the time machine he built looks like a puddle of goo on his couch.
Yeah.
And I'm a little upset about it.
Peter in his underpants and his Hawaiian shirt and his sweaty, sweaty face has a puddle of goo on his couch. And he says, "Young boys, jump into my puddle of goo and we'll go see your great-great-great-granddaughter."
And thank God that turns out to be the truth of the situation. Yeah. And they are transported into
Peter's
the future.
Peter's not a liar. I mean, it's no more or less creepy than 18-year-old Marty McFly hanging out with 70-year-old something. So, theory number two, speaking of puddle of goo on the couch, is that one of Nick Jonas's descendants was a sperm donor whose sample is frozen for approximately 600 years.
600 years?
Yeah, so at some point in the Jonas line, somebody donated sperm, and then they said, "We're just going to hold on to this for 600 years so that Nick Jonas can meet his great-great-great-granddaughter." Or Peter can meet Nick Jonas's great-great-great-granddaughter.
That's three greats. That's right. Great-great-great-granddaughter.
And really, it's so Peter can meet someone from Busted's great-great-great-granddaughter.
Okay, so we're going to discuss the change in lyrics from the Busted version to the Jonas.
Oh, there's a change.
There are several of them, as a matter of fact. The first one, so one of the members of Busted, this guy James Bourne, when asked about his thoughts on the Jonas Brothers cover of it, James Bourne said, quote, when I heard their version of it, I didn't really like it. And he discusses that, like, several of the reasons are because of the word changes. But he understands that it's because it went from this, like, pop punk British band, which could be a little bit more racy, to a song intended for children.
Right.
Yeah.
So the original lyrics are, "And your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine." Indicating that she's hot.
Well, then that was...
And the Jonas Brothers changed it to "doing fine." Now, a funny thing is, apropos of nothing really, in that same interview, Matt Willis said that when he heard it, quote, "Dude, they paid my mortgage for 4 years. I'm stoked to bits." So, so he just got a fat paycheck that took care of his house for a while. The other guy, who evidently loved his own version, wasn't a big fan of the word changes that happened throughout the course of the song. So
one cared about the artistry.
Yeah, exactly.
And one was like, I've got a check.
So I'll tell you what. I'm just going to keep dropping facts because I find it so entertaining. We all have this on genius.com. And one of the annotations on the side here is, the Jonas Boys put a fresh spin on the busted classic. By covering what could be interpreted as a banal tune, the Jonas Brothers make an elaborate statement about the state of art.
I think
that's written like tongue in cheek. I think that is a joke. So,
and I think that like I'm curious as to why they chose this song.
I think this song was chosen for them.
Ah, okay. Oh, so, that would make sense then.
Yeah. One of the other songwriters on the album is another New Jersey native, Fountains of Wayne bass player. I Am What I Am is the song. Adam Schlesinger wrote I Am What I Am on this album. So,
okay.
I can see that. I mean, if you think about like Stacey's Mom, which is a very pop punk kind of song.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Fountains of Wayne catalog has that pop punk with like that synth sound going on.
Oh, no. Every time I think of Fountains of Wayne, though, I keep thinking of their store on Route 46.
Oh, sure. Where they got their name. The late, great Fountains of Wayne. That's now like a fortune off or something.
Yeah, it's some, or it's nothing maybe, or a car dealership. I don't know.
Ugh, there's something there. It's right at the.
There. It's right at the DMV.
Yeah, it's right at the split with 23rd. Just anybody who's not in Bergen Passaic County, New Jersey, is
has no
just,
idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that the that pop rock or that funky kind of feeling that the song goes for, I can get why if he was one of the writers.
Mm-hmm. He was not. No.
Oh,
that funky kind of feeling.
Funky kind of feeling. I don't know.
Oh boy.
But it makes sense that this song would be on an album with a song that's co-written by someone from Fountains of Wayne. Like the sound, all sound fits together.
Yes,
it's the same. I knew what you meant, vibe. Girl.
Sound kind of
the same the funky vibe. Kind of sound. The funky kind of sound. The same radiation vibe that happens. So it's really
on Route 46 and Fountains
right
of Wayne.
Route 46, Route 23, and Route 8.
So all right. Well, Brad
minutes
is.
Minutes from the DMV.
Well, Brad is dropping in allusions to Radiation Vibes by Fountains of Wayne. Can I talk about allusions in this song?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm kind of disappointed now that it wasn't the Jonas Brothers that wrote this song because I thought that maybe they were getting such an excellent homeschool education. Because I wrote down, I was like, these boys must have learned about allusion, right? References to other literary works or religion, history, etc., in their lit classes, which I knew would have been taught by, I guess, their parents because they're homeschooled. Yeah. And I was like, really going, great job homeschooling them. And that I know that Busted is the one that wrote the song, it's really Busted that had the great education in allusions and how to write one.
Well, listen, don't count the Joe Bros out because I believe their mother was a teacher.
Okay.
She was. Mm-hmm.
See, I've got verification from the only viewer of the Jonas reality show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was a teacher.
I think she was a teacher. Father was like a pastor.
All I'm saying is this song isn't evidence of their good education.
What allusion are you talking about in this song?
Flux capacitor.
Oh, okay.
And like one in a film I've seen. Like,
okay, so that's an allusion.
All of those references are allusions to the movie Back to the Future.
Right, I thought you were talking about literature and I said, what am I missing?
No. I mean, a film is a text.
Sure.
And so this is an allusion to that text.
That's fine. That's A-okay.
I feel like the illusion is more like bubble cartoon when you see them going into this like character. She looks like Natalie Portman meets Julia Roberts, with bright pink hair.
That's what they think people look like 1,000 years from now.
The cartoony like video game images, right?
They're all living anime characters, is basically.
Yeah. Yes, anime characters.
That could be a rather inappropriate illusion for the Joe Bros because she looks like Natalie Portman with the little short
pink wig on,
the movie Closer, where Natalie Portman plays a stripper and she's stripping for Clive Owen.
Thank you. I knew I was trying to put my finger on it where that wig was from. Closer. Thank you.
I love that movie.
That was a good movie.
But the Jonas Brothers may have been a little young for that movie when this song came out.
Katie, is that your favorite stripper-based movie?
Probably.
Okay.
It's not a stripper-based movie, though. It just her character happens to be a stripper, but it's not about strippers.
Sure. Wink. No. Sure.
Well, okay.
I just hope that the Jonas Brothers didn't see this movie at the time that they made this video.
Right. Went out to the backyard to find out if he was one of those ratty boys. Stood there with my neighbor, called Peter, in a flux capacitor.
So, with that, is it all right if I read verse 2?
Go for it.
Do we have anything else to say about previous stuff in the song, or can I just move
on?
No,
man, go.
Okay. Oh, man. He took me to the future in the flux thing, and I saw everything. Boy bands, and another one, and another one, and another one. Girls there with round hair, like Star Wars, float above the floor. We drove around in a time machine, like one in the film I've seen. Yeah, he said. So...
Yikes.
I mean, Michelle just spent the entire verse shaking her head no.
This is a garbage verse.
This is a poet's nightmare to read this, right? Am I wrong? Like,
no, this is awful.
I don't even know what to say.
As a literature teacher, Katie?
We got some more allusions, I guess.
Star
Wars? I don't know.
That's not a busted one. That's a change from the original lyric that the Joe Bros wrote. So they made their own allusion.
I mean, my favorite line is, yeah... He said.
Sure.
I just...
My favorite line is flux thing.
Flux thing. Well, the round hair like Star Wars float above the floor. That whole girls there with round hair like Star Wars float above the floor. I cringe at that line. I don't know why.
Let me tell you what the line originally was as written by Busted. Triple-breasted women swim around town totally naked.
And it see why the Jonas Brothers changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're going to put this on Radio Disney, you don't want to be talking about the swimming around totally naked, or at least if it's sexualized nudity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, not because we've evolved past clothes.
Right.
So, and we've grown other boobs.
And we've grown a third breast.
Isn't it so funny? Like
in 1,000 years, that's
when
a lot of
the
evolution.
Boys from Busted wrote this song, they're like, what would be a cool human evolution for the future?
And of course,
boobs.
They came up with three boobs.
Of course, three boobs.
That was in Total Recall. They didn't even come up with that. They just said like.
I don't know if they. I don't think they can. I mean, most guys can't handle two, so I don't know what the third one. Like, what are they going to do with the third one?
Make it watch. I don't know. Like, maybe just got that other eye peering at you right there.
Maybe more people are having triplets in the year 3000.
Oh, can you imagine how much bras are going to cost?
They're too expensive already.
Exactly. Like, take out a finance a bra.
That's true. Yeah, take a loan out. Get a second mortgage. There's another mortgage crisis coming around just because we have to pay for our bras. So... He took me to the future in the flux thing, and I saw everything.
Can I talk about the flux thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is it that earlier in the song he knows that it's a flux capacitor, and here it's the flux thing? You have no, you know, retention of information at all?
Maybe there was more to that goo puddle that he jumped through. That's one of the side effects of future goo puddles on your couch is, you know, memory loss.
I guess so.
So a slow creeping memory loss. I saw everything. And then he lists...
Boy.
Sorry. Two things. He lists boy bands and then girls there with round hair like Star Wars float above the floor. That's such a bad line too because, okay, round hair like Star Wars, I get it because Leia had those buns in her hair.
Yeah, sure.
I get that. That makes sense. It's poorly written, but yeah, I see what you're going for. Float above the floor.
Yeah.
That's not like Star Wars.
Well, no, it's the girls that have round hair like Star Wars are floating above the floor.
And were they floating in the video?
So is that more evolution? No, they're not floating in the video. Absolutely not.
Guys. Yes.
They don't have that budget. We already talked about they don't have a props department. Well.
hold on a second. They're underwater.
Yeah.
Right, because they live underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're floating above the floor. There's actually no need for floors
because
we're
underwater.
All underwater
Disagree.
And floating.
Disagree. And
okay.
I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because the time travelers, Peter and the Jonas Brothers in this example, they go to the future. They don't have gills. And they're not going to the future strapped in their oxygen masks.
Maybe they are.
We saw the video. They jumped through a goo puddle.
There's no actual water in the video. I mean, not that there would.
They're in a dome.
They're in a dome. Yeah.
Underground. So Atlantis style city.
The video's not accurate to the song. That's my.
It's really not. I'm lost. It is a
word for word representation of this song.
The girls are not floating.
That's true.
And they don't have Princess Leia hair.
They do not. They have stripper Natalie Portman hair.
And then I really wouldn't have been able to tell they were underwater or in. I just didn't get it.
That's a thing. Like I think.
And this boy bands, and they saw everything with boy bands. But in the video, all you see is them, the Jonas Brothers, come out with a silver suit on. There are no other boy bands. I was hoping to see Backstreet Boys.
Sure. Or some or mock-up. Hanson. Some mock-up of a boy
90
band.
90 degrees.
I mean, wouldn't that be a great that. Video?
You could consider
take
it.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot
absolutely
that.
Absolutely take that.
The one that did Liquid Dreams, whatever they were called.
Yes. O-Town?
O-Town.
I was just thinking of them.
There was Soul Decision.
Yes. Ooh, so, Soul Decision. Love that song.
I mean, the boy bands.
A thousand others that didn't. There was Natural, who covered Nelson's Love and Affection.
Oh, wow.
So,
there was the MTV Joke Boy Band from the late 90s.
Like, band, but that wasn't a boy band, but dub band.
Together,
yeah. Something. And then they had their song, You Plus Me Equals Us. I Know My Calculus.
Oh, my God. I can't even with that song. I
don't think
that.
I got their name right, but it was something
no,
like
it
that.
Was right. The number two and then Gether.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
They had a short-lived comedy series on MTV starring Chris Farley's younger brother.
Weird.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, and it was a movie.
I just feel like the boy band part, I was like, okay.
So the original song by Busted was released, I believe, in 2002. At that point, the boy bands had come and gone.
Yeah.
So
I remember that. College, it was like starting to teeter off. So this was 2006.
Yeah, so if you're going to like, Busted thinks they're making some sort of joke about the amount of boy bands that are around. And it falls flat because on one hand, you can suspend your disbelief and say, oh, maybe in 1,000 years, boy bands will be another hit thing, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But it's not a good joke. It's not a clever joke. It's not well written. And there's not a bunch of pop punk fans who are going to be like, yeah, you show them, Busted.
Take that, boy bands.
So.
And then basically a boy band covers their song. I mean,
yeah.
The Jonas Brothers are a boy band.
They have
instruments, but they're a boy band.
They're certainly not the first boy band. Yeah, they're not the first boy band to play their own instruments.
Sure.
So
dark-haired Hanson brothers.
There you go.
The American Busted. So,
but apparently, even though they saw a boy band and another one, according to the video, the only boy band in the future is them.
It's them with the silver suit on,
or clones of them?
Or
I don't know.
Can I point out when they're holding up magazine covers of Jonas Brothers in the future, in year 3000, talking about their successes?
Mm-hmm.
They're the same age. They didn't age them
they
up
don't
a
age
thousand
either.
Years.
No.
So
does Peter age? I'd like to be. I would like to see that.
God, I hope so.
I hope
because.
That-
I'd like Peter to de-age so that his hanging out with the Jonas Brothers is a little bit more appropriate.
Right. And his clothes are a little get changed as well in that.
So, Katie, as a poetry teacher, you're backing this verse up. You're saying like, yes, you've done it, Busted.
No. Don't mistake me here. I tried to make some sense out of it, but I'm not getting behind it.
No.
I'm glad you're not.
No, for sure.
At no point ever in the past 12 years of my life have I ever gotten behind any of the lyrics in this song. not one fleeting moment did I say like, okay, that's great.
Now, Brad, what about those other theories that you haven't laid on us yet?
So let me tell you about theory three. Theory three is that Mabel is not actually related to Nick Jonas, and this is all an elaborate lie that she's telling.
Oh.
So,
well, that just seems mean.
Yeah. That's true. But that's another like plausible reason that Mabel, the great-great-great-granddaughter, is doing fine. We don't know who she is in relation to Nick Jonas. And she's an unreliable, I'll call her a narrator, even though she's not narrating. She's an unreliable character.
I was going to say, calling her an unreliable narrator would be incorrect.
You know what it was? That was a phrase that was about to fall out of my mouth, and so I just went with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
now Peter says
that
this is your, as in his great-great-great-granddaughter.
Right.
So if we're to trust Peter, then it should be the character in the song's actual great-great-great-granddaughter.
Right. But here's theory five. I'm going to skip over theory four right now because theory four is my personal favorite.
Okay.
And we'll get to that later. That's why I want to bring down the house, as it were. theory number five is that Peter is full of shit.
What? that's a good one.
I would take that one. Probably one of my best theories here that Peter is full of crap.
Yeah.
Or hallucinating on something.
I have a problem with the phrase, we drove around in the time machine, because that makes sense in the context of the song, but it does not make sense in the context of the goo puddle couch.
Right. Because they're not driving anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just jumping into a gooey puddle.
Yeah, a gooey couch puddle that evidently survives 1,000 years, because when they jump out in the future,
they climb out of the same couch.
Who was the creative director in this music video? I'm curious.
I do not have that information
that
in front of me.
Gooey puddle is
somebody
like,
who's not working anymore.
He's not working. Is he in a boy band now?
This couch has survived 1,000 years. It's just been sitting in your apartment, which has been completely redecorated.
Your apartment, which has been moved underwater, or is now the whole earth underwater?
Exactly. Or are they living in a dome and the water is around that?
Right. But they preserved that apartment.
They preserved
that apartment.
It like sunk. It like sunk underwater.
Maybe.
So not much has changed, but we live underwater. That's a terrible rhyme. It's not a rhyme.
It's a terrible thought.
It's a terrible thought because water and daughter rhyme, but the two lines that book it, it's like an odd way to set up a rhyme scheme.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is it? Were they rhyme? They weren't really rhyming before.
They're not rhyming year 3000 with water, but they are rhyming water with daughter, and then they just tag is doing fine at the end.
Is the original version underwater?
Yeah, that's all the same.
The meter there is fine. There's
A, B, B, C?
Oh, no.
I'm talking about...
I messed it up. It's not fine. It's not okay.
Yeah.
No, I take it all back.
I was going to say, I just didn't like the way it sounded, but...
The problem is I've been to the year 3000, then I would expect a line with a rhyme
right.
with 1,000 there.
A, B, B, right?
And then if you want to get into water and granddaughter, that's fine too. And then just having one unrhymed line on either end is awkward.
I don't have a problem with it being A, B, B, C. That doesn't bother me at all.
It bothers me. As a listener, that bothers me.
I just think that I still get caught up on the great-great-great-granddaughter.
But I was trying to see if the lines were rhythmically even in order to make that rhyming work, and I got out of hand there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, I think it's fine. There are a lot of bigger problems with the song. Took me to the future in the flux thing, and I saw everything. Boy bands, and another one, and another one, and another one. And girls there with brown hair, like Star Wars, and float up on the floor. Who are we up to in the reading here? I think we're back to Michelle to read the bridge.
Michelle, can I ask you to read that bridge for us?
All right. I took a trip to the year 3000. This song had gone multi-platinum. Everybody bought our 7th album. It had outsold Kelly Clarkson. I took a trip to the year 3000. This song had gone multi-platinum. Everybody bought our 7th album. 7th album. 7th album. You know what they say in threes. It's gotta be important.
Here's how I know this is all a garbage story. Because if they had been to the year 3000, they would have gotten more accurate numbers on the sales of this album. Because the first time it was released, well, I don't know what Busted sold. But when it was released as the Jonas Brothers, it only sold, I say only as if I've sold more than this, but it only sold a little more than 1 million albums.
But Brad, you're underestimating the fact that it has now had another 1,000 years worth of sales.
That's true.
So my comment on this was going to be along the same lines, that it took 1,000 years
for this
to go multi-platinum, and it took 1,000 years for them to put out 7 albums?
Kelly Clarkson's still alive.
Apparently.
Jonas Brothers broke up, what, like 3 or 4 albums in?
Right.
So unless they have several reunion albums later on in life, when they're still as young as they were in this video, I guess. I don't know. This theory does not hold water.
No.
Underwater. But it does not hold water.
Yeah, it's very disconnected. And I think that the references, and it's just off to me. I think the bridge is very disconnected and off, and it's more comical than artistically sound.
There's no art behind this. No art whatsoever.
No art.
I want to know why Busted would care about outselling Kelly Clarkson.
Okay,
like, I get
so
the
that's
competition
another.
Between Jonas Brothers and Kelly Clarkson because they're more in the same genre, but what does Busted care about Kelly Clarkson?
Did they have that in there? They didn't have that.
It was changed. That was originally Michael Jackson. But back to Katie's point, like Busted and Michael Jackson don't really.
Completely different.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess no offense to the Clark, because I do like Kelly Clarkson. I love
her. Absolutely.
But Michael Jackson is more iconic, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of transcends genre. Right. I could see someone saying, yes, we've really made it. We were even outselling Michael Jackson.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't work the same way with Kelly Clarkson.
No.
Maybe it does for the Jonas Brothers. Jones for the Jonas Brothers,
not for Busted, yeah.
So Katie, Nick Jonas, in addition to being a type 1 diabetic,
has
been on Broadway several times, starting at a young age before the Jonas Brothers even formed. He was Chip Potts, Beauty and the Beast, Tiny Tim in Dickens, Little Jake in Annie Get Your Guns, and...
Oh my God, I wonder if I saw him on Broadway then, because...
Did you see Annie Get Your Gun?
When Annie Get Your Gun was revived, I guess that was the late 90s with Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it with my mom. It was fantastic. And so
he might have been in it.
Maybe Nick Jonas was in it when I saw
it. He
was
Tiny Tim. Okay, interesting.
Let's do a quick, give it a quick goog and see what we can find. 2001.
2001. Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's when the revival, I thought it was late 90s, but maybe it was early 2000s. But if it was with Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat, that I saw that production.
And he was Chip.
He was Chip Potts, and he was also, oh man, I'm going to say this name wrong, but a character in Les Mis.
Marius.
Gavroche.
Oh, he was, as a little boy, he was
I don't know.
Thank God I'm not the only one messing that
and
up.
And I'm a theater teacher and I can't pronounce it.
I went into it really confidently and then went, I actually don't remember how that name is pronounced. I know what you're talking about,
but I'm curious. I didn't know that. So he was a Broadway performer.
Oh, yeah. And he was, the most recent credit I found on him on Broadway was, Katie, he played J. Pierpont Finch in How to Succeed in Business in 2012.
Yes. And can I give you one that you missed?
Please.
In the 25th anniversary Les Mis in Concert special.
I remember watching
in 2010, that. He played Marius.
Okay.
And so. I almost didn't watch it. I was really judgmental, to be honest, right?
Right.
When it came on PBS, I wanted to watch it because I love Lea Salonga so much. And she had been Eponine on Broadway back in the 90s. But for the 25th anniversary in concert, instead of her playing Eponine, she played Fantine. And I just adore her. I loved her in Miss Saigon. I just think she's incredible. Yeah. I think she's on Broadway now in Once on This Island, actually. So I turned it on to watch it to watch her. And then I saw Nick Jonas was playing Marius and I was like, oh, this is BS. Because I didn't know anything else about him.
Yeah.
And I had only heard Jonas Brothers.
Jonas
Brothers and their music. Songs.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he was going to have the vocal range for the part.
For the part.
And then actually he was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
I love when stars like that like make you rethink your thought process behind the cliche. Because then you're like, well, you actually have some talent.
And I got to say, these guys have... I mean, when they were kids, I didn't care for the sound of their voice, but which ones have like solo careers now? One of them's a member of the group DNCE. One of them is just a solo artist. That might be Nick Jonas.
My favorite song. Still, what's that?
That's your favorite song? You don't know any of the words? I have no idea what that is.
Sexy, beautiful.
Okay. All right.
Sexy, beautiful.
Jealous. Oh, I'm going to. Hold on.
But they've got good voices. They have pretty good voices. Like, they're not untalented child stars, much like Hanson.
Right. Absolutely.
They know how to sing and they know how to play and they're decent musicians.
Like, I was thinking of his voice the way it sounded in, 2006 in a song like this, where clearly he's a very good singer, but he sounds like a little boy.
Like a little boy. Chains
was Nick Jonas's song.
But he
I'm
does.
Not familiar.
Get jealous. Yeah, I do know that song.
Yes.
You know that song. I still get jealous.
You tell me I know that song.
Sure, you know it. That's a good song.
A good song. And
maybe it is. I don't know.
He's pretty hot now.
Really big and buff now.
Gorge. Live for a nice crew cut and a guy, and he has a nice crew cut.
That's what was in that Wyckoff water, making us all diabetic and hot. That's right.
He's a little young for us, though.
I mean, he's over 21.
That's true.
All right.
Just kidding.
Good God, you're like the next Peter.
I am not. I digress, okay?
Next time I see you, you better not be wearing a full-fledged, like, Hawaiian underwear
and boxer
suit.
Shorts.
and jumping into a goo puddle on a couch.
If you come to Caroline's on Broadway, you we'll never know.
A goo puddle right up on stage. Yeah. So can I get into my favorite theory from the Princeton LPs? How is Nick Jonas's great-great-great-granddaughter doing fine?
Please do.
Yes.
So this is a wonderful theory. Mabel has become a religious icon. Quote, given that the Jonas legacy is still going strong 1,000 years after their breakup, there's likely some religious backing to their prominence. She's doing fine because images of her martyrdom for the Church of Jonas would featured in nearly every underwater abode. The year 3000 or 700 AM after Mabel.
Wow.
So that theory is outstanding and hilarious, and probably why Peter was able to meet
Mabel,
their great-great-great-granddaughter, who the Princeton LP has named Mabel.
I would say that there is no evidence to support that theory within the text, but I don't care, and I like it, and that's like my favorite too. One.
There's a favorite, yeah. There's no evidence to support any of these theories in the text of the song.
Fair enough.
So they at no point did they talk about sperm donors in this song, Katie. I don't know if you noticed that.
I thought maybe the goo puddle.
Well, that was the video, not the song. That
true.
Wasn't something
the subtext in this song is just so...
And at no point do we know whether or not their great-great-great-granddaughter or Peter are liars. So that is that.
Can I tell everyone what your daughter said about this song?
Yes, please.
So we were watching the video. We watched it twice and we said, what do you think? And she said, I don't want to watch it anymore.
Honest, true
so I'm gonna tell
criticism.
You,
out of the mouth of babes. Yeah, yes.
As it turns out, your daughter and I have the exact same taste in music. So that is amazing. Unfortunately, I have to go to work on Monday where I will inevitably hear this song with its just terrible 2-minute pause where I think I've been saved, but it's really just the eye of the hurricane. So...
Can I admit something embarrassing?
Please.
No. I think this song is fun, and I would leave it on.
I would do a dance party with maybe some of my preschoolers to it. Absolutely. Yeah, but not by myself. I think, you know, I would definitely turn on Chains, but not this
song.
The
song that you claim I know that I don't know.
Oh my God, I want to play it for you.
We can
take care of that. I several beers in would turn this song on a Kesha dance party mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that actually takes it a step further than I take it because I simply said I would leave it on.
I think Kesha
you've now said
mix,
you
yeah.
would turn it on.
Ah, oh yeah. I don't know if I would turn it on.
It's that Wyckoff water. Getting us all hot and diabetic. Turning it on. That's how we
turn
do
it. Turn it on, baby.
Writing their songs, Chains, or whatever that song is. I don't know.
It's a good song.
I'm just using words now. It doesn't make any sense. So yeah, so does anybody have any final thoughts on this song?
I don't want it to come on the radio now.
Yeah. But if it did, would you roll your windows down, turn the volume up, and sing along?
Probably not, because I think I would have to go back to Electric Youth. I'd rather turn up Electric Youth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are other songs out there, too. Yeah. So you're...
No, but I'm thinking back to the last, like, the last time I was here. But, I don't know. Well, if Grace was in the car, my daughter was in the car, no, I would absolutely not, because she already has spoken.
She's already heard this song twice
about
and doesn't want to hear it
she's
anymore.
She never wants to hear it again.
So Michelle, can I ask you to just once again tell us about Caroline's and where people can find you and all that good stuff?
All right. So my show is called Divorce Diaries, and it was booked at Caroline's on Broadway, and it will be on Tuesday, April 3rd at 7:30, and you can go to Caroline's on Broadway website, click on April 3rd, and you can buy tickets for Divorce Diaries right online. And if you put in the promo code divorce, DIVORCE, for those who don't know how to spell divorce, you can get $10 tickets. So tickets are just $10 online. And do that right away because we're hoping to sell out the show.
Cool.
Awesome.
So get on that if you're in the New York area, which I know a lot of you are. So
please do.
So with that, I want to say thank you to everybody for listening. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, anything like that, please reach out to us. Our email is decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @decomp_pod. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Decomposition Podcast. Our Patreon page, if you want to throw us some cash, patreon.com/decompositionpodcast. In the meantime, thank you guys for listening.
You.
And thank you, Michelle, for coming out here again.
Thank you for having me, Brad and Katie.
You
Yay!
Are welcome.
Woo!
And you guys just chill till the next episode.